John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my rock?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, February 13, 2013. Israeli troops arrest 15 Palestinian civilians during dawn invasions targeting West Bank communities and settlers bulldoze farmlands. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Israeli soldiers invaded on Wednesday several areas in the occupied West Bank, broke into and seared several homes, and kidnapped at least 15 Palestinians. The army also detained 5 children for several hours. Troops invaded the Ramona village west of the northern West Bank city of Jenin and kidnapped 1 resident. Clashes were reported between the invading army and local residents. Also near Jenin, the Israeli army invaded Akraba village, fired sound grenades and used loudspeakers to harass residents. Clashes were also reported there. Soldiers also closed the main entrance of Azzoun and Izbit al-Tayyib in northern West Bank district of Qalqilya and were extensively deployed in the main street, preventing the residents from entering or leaving the invaded areas. Near Jerusalem, in the village of Beit Dukko, residents reported that soldiers kidnapped 10 Palestinians after detonating the main doors of their homes, causing excessive damage and terrifying the residents. The invasion was carried out by more than 100 soldiers, eyewitnesses reported. Furthermore, army forces invaded Burqa village near the northern West Bank city of Nablus and arrested 1 resident. Another Palestinian civilian was arrested by Israeli troops from the southern West Bank city of Hebron on Wednesday at dawn. In Bethlehem city, southern West Bank, the army invaded Aida camp, As-Saf street, Hindaza area and Ad-Doha and Beit Jala and installed a number of roadblocks. Also near Bethlehem, Israeli settlers bulldozed on Wednesday farmlands owned by farmers from the village of Ferdos near the city. Local sources said that settlers were protected by Israeli troops. Last year, the settlers tried to take these lands by installing 13 homes on it, but later was removed by the Israeli military. Moreover, the Israeli army informed farmers from Hussan village near Bethlehem to leave their lands that are close to a military checkpoint. The army order also asked farmers to remove olive trees that were planted on their lands last year. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, February 13th news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, Ghassan Badnoura.
Afghanistan, 13th of February. A NATO airstrike has reportedly killed at least 10 civilians, including 5 children in eastern Afghanistan. The airstrike took place in the Shigal district of the Kunar province. Afghan officials say the 10 dead civilians were from 2 local families. District Governor Abu Zarir said 3 Taliban commanders, including a notorious Al-Qaeda-linked militant leader called Shapur, were also killed in the raid. Afghanistan, 9th of February. A NATO helicopter crashed, presumably from a low altitude, as neither crew member was seriously injured. Afghanistan, 10th of February. U.S. forces began preparing a staging area in the Hindu Kush Mountains for their upcoming, but much too late, withdrawal from the country. On the 11th of February, the first 25 containers of U.S. equipment being withdrawn from Afghanistan were shipped back into Pakistan. Pakistan, 9th of February. Another U.S. drone strike killed 7 people. Mosul, Iraq, 12th of February. A suicide car bomb detonated at a military checkpoint, killing 8 people and wounding 18. Mosul, Iraq, 12th of February. Gunman with silenced pistols killed a Kurdish provincial councilman's bodyguard and 3 other people. Karbala, Iraq, 8th of February. A car bomb killed 20 people in central Al-Hindia city. Mr. Barack Obama, your war in Afghanistan is as big a failure as George W. Bush's war in Iraq. 2014 is too long to wait to cut U.S. losses. Bring all the troops and all the drones home today. You might remember Paul Bremer. When the U.S. first invaded Iraq in 2003, he was head of the so-called Coalition Provisional Authority that assumed dictatorial powers over Iraq for the first year of the war. On the 7th of February this year, Paul Bremer made the mistake of speaking before the Henry Jackson Society in a British House of Commons building. A citizen of Iraq who fled the war in 2005 confronted him, waiting until it was his turn to speak, then saying he had 2 messages, one from Saddam Hussein, former president of his country, and one from the people of Iraq. He then proceeded to remove both of his shoes and throw them at Paul Bremer. Mr. Bremer tried to catch the second throw, but the shoe was thrown so hard he could not hang on.
My name is Yasser Samurai. I was born in London, but I grew up in Iraq, and I came back to London in 2005 after the Iraq war, after the USA destroyed the country. I've just got 2 messages, one from Saddam Hussein, ex-president, and one from the Iraqi people. This is the first message. This is the second message.
Come on.
That's
you fucked up the country.
You should improve your aim if you want.
You fucked up the country. You destroyed the country. Fuck you, fuck your democracy.
We all remember when this happened to George W. Bush when he foolishly visited Iraq in 2008. Now another jerk responsible for the occupation of Iraq has had Iraqi shoes thrown at his face. In the Middle East, this is one of the worst possible insults. In Iraq, to say, "I will shave off your mustache with my shoe," is one of the worst possible things you can say to an enemy. To throw your shoes at that enemy takes things to a whole new level. The only mistake either Iraqi patriot made was not stepping in every available dog dropping on the way to do the job.
A confidential 16-page Justice Department memo referred to as the White Paper that considers the legal authority of the U.S. government to use unmanned aerial drones abroad was leaked to NBC News and released to the public on February 4th. The memo concludes that the U.S. government can order the killing of American citizens if they are believed to be senior operational leaders of Al-Qaeda or an associated force, even if there's no intelligence indicating they are engaged in an active plot to attack the U.S. The memo further argues for a broader concept of imminence, declaring the condition that an operational leader present an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States does not require the United States to have clear evidence that a specific attack on U.S. persons or interests will take place in the immediate future. To date, the public has been told that 3 U.S. citizens have been killed by drones, Samir Khan, Anwar al-Awlaki, and his 16-year-old son, Abdul Rahman al-Awlaki, were killed by U.S. drone strikes in Yemen during 2011. Against the backdrop of new questions about the U.S. drone program provoked by the memo, President Obama's nominee to head the CIA, John Brennan, was questioned by members of the Senate Intelligence Committee during confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill. During the hearing, Brennan, a holdover from the Bush administration, now Mr. Obama's counterterrorism chief and architect of the drone program, disturbingly refused to describe the practice of waterboarding of terrorism suspects, as practiced under Mr. Bush, as torture. The Obama administration's escalation of America's use of drones and its targeted killing of suspected terrorists across the Middle East, South Asia, and Africa in recent years has provoked increased opposition and anger abroad. Your reporter spoke with Brett Kaufman, National Security Fellow with the ACLU's National Security Project, who talks about his group's legal challenge to the government's right to assassinate U.S. citizens without charge, trial, or due process.
We filed a few lawsuits under the Freedom of Information Act, trying to get information about the government's targeted killing program, as well as any information the agencies have about the effects that program is having abroad, including civilian deaths. And so we filed a lawsuit here in New York seeking the Office of Legal Counsel memos that authorize the killing of Anwar al-Awlaki and any other legal memos and materials that discuss the government's claimed authority to target American citizens under this targeted killing program. The other lawsuit is in Washington, D.C., also under the Freedom of Information Act. And right now we are in the Court of Appeals where the case was argued in September and we're awaiting decision. And in that case, we're seeking documents from the CIA about civilian casualties of drone strikes abroad and the targeting killing program, as well as other information that the government has about that program. And in that case, the CIA has consistently and still to this day claimed that it cannot confirm or deny that it even has records responsive to this request based on national security grounds. And that, of course, is becoming increasingly unbelievable by the day, as we just had a hearing last week about the new CIA director that was largely focused on the CIA's use of drones in the targeted killing program. The accountability arm of our litigation right now involves a lawsuit brought with the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York on behalf of the families of 3 American citizens who were killed in Yemen in drone strikes in 2011. In that case, we are seeking a constitutional remedy for violations of the U.S. citizens who are now deceased constitutional rights under the 4th and 5th Amendment. And earlier, a few years ago, also with the Center for Constitutional Rights, we brought a lawsuit to enjoin the government, to stop the government from killing Anwar al-Awlaki, the son of our plaintiff in that past lawsuit and in this new lawsuit. In that case, the judge decided that Anwar al-Awlaki's father did not have standing to bring that claim, and then, of course, the government later killed Anwar al-Awlaki.
Brett Kaufman, it seems from what we know so far that John Brennan, President Obama's counterterrorism chief, and President Obama himself are the ones looking at a proposed list of people who are suspected terrorists that are to be killed by these drones and making decisions in a weekly meeting. Is this really the process that the United States is going through to select people to assassinate around the world? Is this what it comes down to, 2 individual people's decision?
It appears that it does, and in the words of the memo, an informed high-level official of the U.S. government must determine that the targeted individual poses an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States. So it really does come down, apparently, to the say-so of one individual in the executive branch with an unknown standard of evidence and through an unknown closed secret executive process. And I might add that the government is claiming all this authority while at the same time refusing to discuss it publicly, to reveal the standards and the process that it's using to allow Americans to publicly debate what kind of limitations are in place in the executive branch. And it is also fighting the ability of individuals to, even after the fact, hold officials accountable for wrongful killings of American citizens.
Brett, when it comes to what was stated during the confirmation hearing for John Brennan, as President Obama has nominated him to become the next head of the CIA, are there any signs that members of the U.S. Senate are looking to get some oversight over this program in a serious way, or was this just a lot of rustling of papers and hot air?
Well, certainly certain senators have been seeking this information for a very long time, and the administration should have released it to them and the public a very long time ago. But it was encouraging to see the White House at least provide limited access to the senators on the Intelligence Committee before the hearing, although immediately, as announced in the hearing, Chairman Feinstein mentioned that there were 8 memos that had not been released, and she was upset about that, and Senator Wyden's been another big leader on this issue. But the truth is that these memos should be released to the public and not just the committees, because when the government's claiming authority to kill Americans, the public should be able to see all of its arguments and debate them openly in order to see what the limits are that the government's purportedly placing on its authority.
That was Brett Kaufman, National Security Fellow with the ACLU's National Security Project. Find more perspectives on the Obama administration's drone warfare program on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.com.
On the 9th of February, yet another protest against the CIA's use of drones to kill people around the world without a trial forced the security guards to tape off and close the Dolly Madison Boulevard entrance, just like they did on the 12th of January when protesters were out front. Some of the protesters read out accounts of victims of drone strikes and survivors of drone strikes.
He was only 13 years old when on one evening in January 2009, his house was attacked by a CIA-operated drone. The house is situated in Soroki Village in NWA. That day, there were about 8 family members gathered in Fahim's family house, and as usual, the male members were in the Hoosier. Some of their friends were present in the Hoosier as well. Fahim was living in a joint family house, so all his father's brothers were staying together, along with their respective families. The missile fire killed 7 people present in the Hoosier. Fahim says he will never choose violence as revenge, but he will also never forget what happened to him. He wants to pursue his legal case against the CIA to the last effort.
Nothing we read suggests that Pakistan wants this to happen. Why it's happening, we don't know. But everything is starting, both in the White House and this place of evil behind me. Again.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. On the 7th of February, the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee held a hearing on confirming John Brennan, author of the drone kill lists, as Director of Central Intelligence. For the first time in living memory, the Intelligence Committee had to clear the room after protesters from Code Pink shouted down John Brennan.
All right. We will stop again. All right.
Pakistan, Somalia, and who else? Who else? Where else?
Please remove that
CIA
woman.
The CIA and the Obama administration refuse to even tell Congress. They won't even tell Congress what countries we are killing children
Please,
in. Senator Feinstein.
If you could please expedite the removal.
Are the children of Pakistan and Yemen? Are they more important? Do your job. World peace depends on it. We're making more enemies.
Please proceed. Mr. Brennan, the next time we're going to clear the chamber and bring people back in one by one. This witness is entitled to be heard, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So please give him that opportunity.
Thank you. A heartfelt thank you also goes to my family in New Jersey, especially my 91-year-old mother, Dorothy, and my 92-year-old father, Owen, who emigrated from Ireland nearly 65 years ago.
Pakistan and Mr. Brennan, if you don't know who they are, I have a list. I have a list of all the names and the ages.
All right. We're going to halt the hearing. I'm going to ask that the room be cleared and that the Code Pink associates not be permitted to come back in. Done this 5 times now, and 5 times are enough. So we will recess for a few minutes. All right. Well, if the... ladies and gentlemen, if you would mind leaving, we will then have you come back in. But it's the only way I think we're going to stop this. We will recess for a few minutes.
Some liberal, that's Senator Dianne Feinstein. Here's what people had to say earlier during a protest under the shadow of a mock drone.
Reject John Brennan! Reject John Brennan! Reject John Brennan!
No! Mock drone!
No! Feinstein, no Frankenstein, get Brennan out of here!
You're telling me that you actually think that we could be safe without murdering kids in Pakistan? Come on, get out there!
You've known all about these murderous drones. You've known about these assassin drones. You're part of the problem. You've been protecting people like John Brennan all the time.
Killer drones are a crime from Pakistan to Palestine. Killer drones are a crime from Pakistan to Palestine.
Mr. John Brennan, you suit and tie-wearing drone, your fellow suit drones on the Hill may well confirm you, but that doesn't give you or the U.S. the right to kill anyone on Earth without trial in any country at any time. Not with drones, and not by any other means either. On the 13th of February, the Sierra Club staged their first ever civil disobedience in front of the White House against the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. Here's a report from a Chesapeake Earth First activist who was there. What did the Sierra Club do today in front of the White House?
They got together with Bill McKibben. James Hansen was there. The director of the Sierra Club was there. And a lot of supporters. And they kind of did a small-scale repeat of the type of civil disobedience arrest that they had done a little over a year ago.
You mean the stuff in August and September 2011?
Yeah. So there were a lot of leaders of various groups and movements there, and celebrities. Daryl Hannah was there.
I heard 2 people from Texas who'd been part of the blockades were there.
I was with Jason. He recognized at least one of the people from the blockade.
Daryl Hannah herself was arrested as part of the months-long tar sands blockade in Texas that forced the pipeline company TransCanada to reroute around a section the activists were defending. Daryl Hannah wasn't done after her activism in Texas. She was present at the Sierra Club's first ever civil disobedience in Washington. Here's more on that civil disobedience from our witness from Chesapeake Earth First.
There were a few occupiers there in support also that we were with. And it was pretty chill. It usually isn't this type of thing. But it's kind of important because you have people who would never think of doing civil disobedience before, out there doing it.
Isn't this the first time the Sierra Club ever endorsed civil disobedience?
First time in their 120-year history that they've ever endorsed civil disobedience. So in that way, it's pretty big.
The TarSandsBlockade.org website reports a total of 48 arrests at the Sierra Club's first ever civil disobedience in front of the White House. The Sierra Club did this because the tar sands pipeline may be considered by them to be the worst environmental threat they've ever faced. There's other tar sands news as well. On the 11th of February, youth pastor Stephen Warner and seven other activists were arrested after Stephen locked himself to construction equipment in Oklahoma, shutting down construction of the pipeline for the morning. The latest scandal affecting the tar sands pipeline is photographs of a faulty weld taken during a December lockdown blockade inside a section of the pipeline in Texas. Sunlight can be clearly seen shining through a crack or void in the weld over where the blockaders had set up. That's a brand new pipeline with a hole clean through it in the only weld the activists inspected. The resistance to building the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline has become so intense that investors are beginning to consider the project doubtful. Knowing this, activists will step up the pressure with a national march on D.C. this Sunday, the 17th of February. That's this Sunday at noon, gather in the National Mall. Repeat, noon on the National Mall, march against the tar sands pipeline. Next up after that is a week of action from the 16th of March to the 23rd of March, also against the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. Tar sands, it's just another way to die.
Everything's red. All red, everything. Everything's red. All red, everything. Everything's red. Everything's red. 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 Dead. Red. Dead. Red. First off, I send love to Lupe for giving us hope in this Lakota Sioux. All red, everything, red nation rising. Revising our story, they're televising. Child of the plains, I see 2020. Poverty porn, TV pimpers for money. Tell Diane Sawyer, I am a warrior. Give me your camera, send pal to your lawyer. Free all my people, get them out of prison. Take them to Sundance, show them how we're living. Give youth an outlet, disadvantaged prodigies. Feed these Republicans all our commodities. Put them on the reds. From the day they're born, they won't survive cause their cancer is airborne. Put them in our schools, put them in our shoes. Take away their money and give them our booze. Red, make everything red. Words of my ancestors up in my head. Food for thought, our kids underfed. Your oil is mud, they want the earth dead. Oil for blood, oil for blood. Making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, my mother is clean. That oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead. Red. I can't afford to leave the reds. Government has got me trapped. The leadership need a tip. And most of my tribal leaders whack. They don't wanna hear that. They just wanna chill. I'm sick. I'll go to IHS and get a pill. For real? Like a song without a title. Feel forgotten. Like slaves picking the cotton. Forever tribal. With no connection to the Bible. Flying. People rotting. Sometimes I'm suicidal. Feeling like no exit. Generation X shit. Text mentioning sex. What I connect with. Technology. Get this world to acknowledge me. My ancestors studied numbers and astrology. Like the philosophy, keep them haters off of me. Keystone XL, you smell like an atrocity. To my home and my ancestors, I'm loyal. Build that pipeline and I'm burning down your oil. Oil for blood, making you rich. You soil my love. Oil for blood, my mother is clean. That oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead. Red.
Chefs for the Marcellus is a group that sprung up to defend the farmers in upstate New York who were supplying hundreds of new farms-to-fork restaurants. Many area farmers occupy the same land eyed by energy companies seeking to use hydraulic fracturing or fracking to extract rich natural gas deposits from the Marcellus Shale Formation in the Northeast, which has led to a new domestic energy boom. In New York, owners of new breweries, wineries, and organic dairies are worried about the negative impact of fracking operations on crops, livestock, and the farmers themselves. According to The Nation magazine, the only peer-reviewed report suggesting a link between fracking and illness in food animals was published in 2012 by Michelle Bamberger, an Ithaca veterinarian, and Robert Oswald, a professor of molecular medicine at Cornell's College of Veterinary Medicine. The authors studied 24 farmers in 6 shale gas states whose livestock experienced neurological, reproductive, and acute gastrointestinal problems. Exposed either accidentally or incidentally to fracking chemicals in the water or air, scores of animals have died. Environmental advocates believe the deaths of these farm animals constitute an early warning about the dangers of fracking. Predictably, the study was harshly attacked by the pro-fracking group Energy in Depth, claiming the study did not use strict scientific assessment or specific risks. There are a growing number of farmers and rural veterinarians who are afraid to speak out about the negative health effects of fracking for fear of retribution from neighbors with lucrative gas company leases or the threat of lawsuits stemming from food disparagement laws or from oil companies claiming defamation. Others have traded the risk of harm to their animals and farmland for the royalty checks already forthcoming from the energy companies.
We have never stood by to see a whale die.
Is one whale's life worth war?
Until you find something worth dying for, we haven't really lived.
The whale wars continue in the Southern Ocean, with a Sea Shepherd victory over Japan's illegal whale poaching fleet looking more and more likely. On the 11th of February, Sea Shepherd Australia reported that the Yushin Maru harpoon ship and its crew were nearly out of fuel and abandoned by the rest of the fleet, too far away to return to the factory ship. As of the 11th of February, the entire fleet is scattered and on the run. The previous week, Sea Shepherd intercepted the whaler's refueling ship Sun Laurel and drove it off, cutting off the entire fleet's access to any fuel other than that carried in the Nishin Maru factory ship. On the 11th, the Yushin Maru harpoon ship was riding very high in the water while tailing the Bob Barker. An attempt to switch it off with a fully fueled Yushin Maru number 3 failed. The Sea Shepherd ship Bob Barker turned away from chasing the factory ship to chase the harpoon ship instead, and the Yushin Maru could not even reach full speed to escape. Meanwhile, the Sea Shepherd ship Sam Simon was still pursuing the Nishin Maru with no tailing harpoon ship and a fleet of drones to help. Once again, the whalers will miss their quota, and this year they were caught before they could kill a single whale, so they may go home empty-handed. That is to say, those that make it home at all. The abandonment of the Yushin Maru and her crew by the rest of the whaling fleet shows an utter disregard for the safety of their own fellow whalers. If the ship has to be rescued, Sea Shepherd would be able to tow it into port as a war prize. As an illegal whaler, it would be impounded by the Australian government.
When President Obama signed the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, civil liberties advocates were alarmed at several provisions, including Section 1021, that empowers the current and all future presidents to indefinitely imprison U.S. citizens and non-citizens who were part of or substantially supported Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or associated forces that are engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. Persons accused under this provision can be held by the U.S. military indefinitely or transferred to any nation in the world without charge, trial, or access to an attorney. On January 13th last year, two lawyers, Carl J. Mayer and Bruce I. Afrin, filed a lawsuit on behalf of 7 plaintiffs challenging the legality of what they assert are unconstitutional provisions of the NDAA. Their plaintiffs in the case, known as Hedges v. Obama, include former New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges, Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, and America's most well-known dissident and MIT linguist Noam Chomsky. On May 16th last year, U.S. District Judge for the Southern District of New York, Catherine Forrest, issued a preliminary injunction that barred the U.S. government from applying indefinite military detention of U.S. citizens. Later on September 12th, Judge Forrest issued a permanent injunction declaring Section 1021 of the NDAA unconstitutional. In response, the Obama administration appealed the decision to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, which issued a stay of the injunction pending the outcome of the government's case. Your reporter spoke with Carl Mayer, one of the two attorneys in the case, who talks about oral arguments made before the three-judge panel of the appellate court in New York City on February 6th.
The law is unconstitutional. It goes against our most basic principles. Judge Forrest not only granted a preliminary injunction, but she granted a permanent injunction back in September. As soon as Judge Forrest granted the permanent injunction, the Obama Justice Department went crazy. They, at 11 o'clock on a Friday night, they indicated they were filing papers first thing on the following Monday morning, asking for a stay of the Judge Forrest opinion, and they immediately appealed it. And that's, in fact, what they did do. And unfortunately, the Second Circuit, which is the appellate court, federal appellate court, did grant them a stay until the appeal was heard. And the appeal was heard February 6th in the Second Circuit Court of Appeal in Manhattan, which is the highest court before the Supreme Court of the United States. That's where we are. We're waiting for the Second Circuit Court of Appeals to decide. We have vowed that whichever way this turns out, if we prevail, we will call on the Obama administration to stop this program of the military policing our streets. If we don't prevail, we will seek to have the Supreme Court rule on this.
Carl, could you tell our listeners a bit about the efforts in Congress last year to amend the 2013 NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, to be very specific, to exclude U.S. citizens from the purview of the U.S. government to detain them indefinitely? And those efforts, from what I remember, were unsuccessful.
That's correct. When the legislation was first passed at the end of 2011, it immediately became obvious, in the words of Brigadier General David Tice and 40 other retired admirals and generals, that this was the most major change in counterterrorism since 9/11, because now the military are being asked to police our streets. These former admirals and generals were appalled by this. They said flat out, the military does many things well. Policing our streets is not one of them. So almost immediately after the bill's passage, besides the filing of our lawsuit, members of Congress went to work trying to amend it to protect citizens and other civilians within the United States. There was a year-long debate. The politicians did their thing, which is to pound their chests, make lots of noise, and in the end, nothing happened. The citizens and civilians were left unprotected. They couldn't even get into the bill a language that specifically said that anyone who was detained would have the right to habeas review, which is to petition the court to review their case after they've already been detained. But, you know, frankly, habeas is already in the Constitution, and the fact that the Congress couldn't even pass something that's already guaranteed people in the Constitution is really boggles my mind. But in any event, that failed, which is why we're pressing on with our lawsuit. The politicians aren't going to get the job done. We'll get the job done.
We are in the midst of a new controversy that's erupted into the public sphere recently, although it's been around quite some time, and that is the Obama administration's drone program. But it seems to me that this NDAA provision giving the government the right to indefinitely detain U.S. citizens is inextricably linked with the Obama administration's self-declaration that they have the right to kill any American citizen anywhere in the world without any due process. It's frightening and stunning all at the same time.
We haven't seen the memorandum. We've just seen a sort of summary of the president's memorandum supposedly providing a legal rationale for the drone strikes. But the terms used in that memorandum are quite similar to the terms used in the NDAA. The drone memorandum talks about associated forces, meaning essentially that drones can go after anyone who's a, quote, associated force of Al-Qaeda, which could be anything. What is the definition of an associated force? And same with the NDAA. Anyone who supports an associated force of Al-Qaeda or an associated force of any group that's engaged in hostilities with any of our coalition partners. That's the nature of it. It is completely open-ended. It is completely inchoate. It is completely a violation of the due process clause of the Constitution, and that's why we're trying to stop it. But the idea that the executive can do all of this without judicial review was most aggressively pursued by President Bush, or Bush II, George W. Bush. But Obama has gone even farther than George W. Bush. I don't understand what people are thinking in this area. That, you know, they elect Obama because they think he's going to stand up, and he's promised to stand up, to the Bush administration record on civil rights, civil liberties, and then he does worse than the Bush administration on civil rights, civil liberties. It's mind-boggling. You know, when are Democratic Party voters going to get it in their mind that, fine, if you want to spend a few hours trying to make sure that you get President Obama in who is better than the troglodyte Republicans, that's fine. But then don't give him a pass on civil liberties and just sit on your hands and say, oh, well, he's a Democrat, so he'll take care of our civil liberties, because he's not taking care of our civil liberties.
That was Carl J. Mayer, one of two attorneys representing seven plaintiffs in the Hedges versus Obama case, challenging the government's power to indefinitely detain U.S. citizens. For more analysis on this case, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.